Hey y'all, hey, it's your girl Shakira, and we are live here from the Quaffis, my closet slash office space, where it goes down each and every Saturday here on the Faith Podcast. I'm so happy to have you guys here yet again because y'all know I have some great motivation for you, and I hope that today it touches you and you're able to take something away. I have a super special guest joining us today, so get ready for a special treat. So today I have Kayla Shelton Burley with me. She is a 2015 graduate of the Pennsylvania State University, where she earned her Bachelor of Arts in Criminology with a minor in Sociology. Since graduating, Kayla has taken an influential role in becoming a school teacher. She moved to Georgia as a part of the Teach for America program, and she taught there, and now she has since relocated, and she is going to be embarking on a new journey this school year with a charter school system, which is so exciting, and I'm just so happy to see all the things that she's doing and just walking in her testimony. So as you all can see with our shirts, I have mine on, she has hers on. Her brand is Walking Testimony. And today you're going to get to learn a little bit more about what it's all about. So let's get right into it. Hey, so thank you so much for being here today, Kayla. Like, I greatly appreciate it. Let me just give you the little rundown. So here we have the Sincere Squad. These are squad members on the YouTube channel. Then you got the Faith community over here on the Faith Podcast. So go ahead and let them know a little bit about you.
Okay. Hey, everybody. One, thank you for just presenting the opportunity for me to be out here, but thank you. I'm Kayla Shelton Burley. I am the founder of Walking Testimony LLC. I founded it in 2018, going into 2019, and it's since taken off, and God has been opening up doors. Like, he really has been working, not just in my life, but in just the lives of people that my brand has come in contact with, and that's just the whole point of why I did what I did. Or more so why I listened and was obedient and did what he told me to do.
That's important right there. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So we always talk about how you have to like listen to the spirit of God, but a lot of people don't understand, like, how do I know that God is speaking to me? Or how do I know that this is God and not like just my gut or the flesh? Like, so can you tell us a little bit more about that? Like, how did you know it was God that was speaking to you to go ahead and fulfill this?
So for me, it kind of came through my teaching journey as well, because I had stepped away from the classroom on what I thought at that time was faith, but it was my plan. And he very clearly showed me that it was my plan, and he actually put me right back in the same school, in the same classroom, in the same grade. So it was very evident, like, no, this is what I want you to do. But in the process of me being out of the classroom, I kind of went through a period where of just personal things that just happened. It was like I kind of walked away from my faith, and it took that moment where I have nothing left. And now I'm literally, that only thing I can do is literally come to Jesus, because he's the only one there left. And it was just, that moment was just like, okay, just keep walking with me, keep trusting me, I got you. And I got more into my faith, got more into just figuring out who Kayla was and healing and becoming more self-aware and trying to kill, like, they're in these generational curses that are in my family and trying to tackle things head on. And I remember always growing up, and they're always saying, like, oh, you're a walking testimony, or like, oh, hearing somebody's story. I'm like, oh, you're a walking testimony. I always said it, but I didn't realize that as I was saying it was like, no, I want you to do something with that. So it was once I was going through my journey, and in the midst of it, I remember you were there in the beginning, like during the whole, when we went to Sarah Jakes and we saw her, that was kind of like the start of my life journey. Yeah. So to see where it started to where it ended and how it was so graceful, like looking back, I'm like, the grace that was given.
Right.
Because through it, you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And so just once I got to the end, just being able to look over and realize, like, I didn't go through those things for nothing. I didn't go through that just to help me, but it's more so to tell people what happened, share your testimony, share the greatness of God over your life, because you don't know what they're going through, and that could unlock something that is being held over their life. Like, you could literally be the key to unlock anything over your life. So it's like just sharing your testimony, remaining obedient. But I had to learn that. Through my own journey. So that was essentially what brought me to being able to hear him clearly, was because I rebuilt my relationship with him before I presented my brand. Because I know if I'm not aligned, my brand isn't aligned. So like when my brand goes quiet, it's more so because I'm going through a restructure and I need to realign myself, because I'm not going to put out anything, especially I know this wasn't just my idea. I was told to do this. So I know he has a purpose for it, and I'm not trying to go upon it haphazardly. Or like, I'm not going to go up with like 50% effort. So if I know I have some type of disconnect, I know it's going to send off some type of disconnect when I put out my apparel or I put out a post. So I'm just very cognizant, because I know the weight that comes with what he has presented me or tasked me.
It's heavy. Absolutely.
It's heavy. It's worth it.
So absolutely. So with all of that, you know, a part of what I do and what I use my platform for is to just encourage women to walk confidently in their purpose, you know, when God has called you. So how did you like gain the confidence to even be able to like share your testimony, or to be able to say, hey, I'm going to be able to just speak to people and let them know, or this is my testimony? And how did you just gain that confidence?
I think through a lot of healing and self-reflection. Like, I was, everything kind of jump-started. It's funny how God works. It was from the end of a relationship that I knew I shouldn't have been in, and I ended that, but I felt like I kind of lost myself in the relationship. So it was like, once it ended, I was like, well, what do I got left? Like, I got to figure out, who am I again? And it was kind of crazy, because I had just got through a period like that, and it was like, that's when you figure out the power behind soul ties and other things.
Patterns of
generational curses and cycles that you get yourself into. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that whole thing happened and took me to such a low point where it was like, no, I gotta get myself together. Like, I gotta figure out who Kayla is. I don't have time to converse with nobody. I don't have time to entertain nobody. That's not even what's on my focal right now. It's more so I need to get me back, because if I don't have me, how am I gonna help anybody? Mm-hmm. And I know my calling is bigger than just what's going on right now. So I know if I'm being attacked, there has to be some reason why I'm being attacked. So right. Like, I'll say my confidence came with more assurance in my word. I really, Bible plans, those really kept me on track. Like, just little dings, and you just reading throughout the day, just keeping my word and listening, making sure that what I'm taking into my ear gates, into my eye gates, everything, I just had to really change everything. I unfollowed a whole bunch of people and a whole bunch of sites on social media. I stopped listening to certain artists for a certain period, because it was like, not to say like, oh, I'm never going to listen to you again, but I knew at that point I was too vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like, my spirit was literally vulnerable, and I could not risk anything but him attaching himself to it. So it was like, I had to just really cut myself off and really build myself back up. And I'll say, honestly, like, I can't really take any attest to it. I really would say it's like his grace, honestly, that got my confidence back up. Because looking back, I'm like, yeah, it was low. Like, it was low. But,
and you know, you're not the only person that goes through that. Like, there's a lot of women who are watching this now, or who will watch this, who are feeling like, God has told me to do something, but they just don't have the confidence to do so. So what would you tell like that person who is like battling, like, I don't know, and between I should go ahead?
Do it scared. I was told that by my pastor. I was told that by my best friend. Literally the day before my launching for Walking Testimony, I have no shirts, had no like things tangible. Like, I had all the things like, oh, I could order from here, I could order from here.
Right.
But I knew I had this date in my head. I didn't even have the date. I had prayed on the date, and I remember it came to me. It was like, you're going to release this day. And I was like, you sure?
Like, wait a minute.
Sure. But it was like, do it scared. Like, I can't. I think Sarah Jakes had touched on this. Like, I can't release the miracle unless you make a move. Like, you need to make a move. At least open the door. You don't got to walk through it just yet. I'll walk you through. But more so, like, if you wait till it's perfect, it's never going to be released. It's never going to be perfect. So it's never going to be released. So you really got to just do it scared. It's like, it might not feel right, but you know who you're doing it for, and you know who directed you and who told you to do it. So you know he'll carry it. And that was what I had to rest on. Like, even though I was terrified, because I'm like, nobody's going to buy it. Everybody, this is a saturated market. But it's like my first month, I had over 200 orders in my first couple months.
And that's huge.
And that's huge just for me making shirts in my bedroom.
Yeah, I mean, as a beginner, like, you know.
But it just goes to show he'll carry you. Like, just be obedient. That's all.
Obedience.
That's what I had to learn the hard way.
That's the word. That's the title right there. Obedient.
That's it. Be obedient.
Yes, that's really good. So going back a little bit into your story, you know, before you launched, it was like going into your birthday, and then you made a big trip, a big surprise trip, and you went and got rebaptized and all of that. So can you like walk us through that? Because that was really major as well. And like, what made you want to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and, you know, rededicate your life? So walk us through that.
It kind of goes back to what I was saying with the me just rebuilding and getting myself back. I had walked away from, I don't say I walked away, but also it was like life had happened and I was just like, I wasn't going to God. I was just like, I was mad. I was honestly mad at him. So it was like, I didn't really have nothing to say. And yeah, that's where I was. But until he really brought me back. And I remember getting back into my word, and it was just like, I have to put him first. I need to make a public declaration. Like, okay, I'm changing. Like, this is who I'm choosing. And I know I got baptized as a kid, but it was like, okay, now I've learned him for myself.
Right. And not just your parents saying, this is what you're going to do.
So it's like, I've actually seen him for myself. I've gone through the relationship. I still do. But it's like, I actually saw him for me, for myself, and how he worked out for me. So it was like, I just started looking up baptisms. And at that point, I was following transformation heavy. Mm-hmm. And I remember just looking up, like, when did they have their baptism? And their baptism was on my birthday. And so that was the sign from God. I was like
rebirth.
I was like, that's funny. I was like, that's funny. So I like signed up for it, and they had us write little stories or like entry points. And mine ended up getting picked because it was just crazy.
Oh, so it randomly gets picked.
Yeah, like you write your stories, but then your story, like they pick like four or five that they'll read out loud on the actual, they read everybody's, but there's like ones that they video recorded. Mm-hmm. So they put me, I was actually the third one baptized, but the first one recorded.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that that's how it worked.
Yeah, so she wrote me back and was like, can you put a little, like, give us more of your testimony. And it was weird because she was like, your testimony. And I'm just like, okay, well, 25 years ago, I wasn't supposed to be here. I was supposed to die at birth. So the fact that I'm still here, that tells a lot. And it was just, for me, it was like the confirmation was the fact that it was on my birthday, my 25th birthday at that. Like, I feel like 25 is a big cornerstone. It's like the first quarter of your life. And it's like, okay, now I'm making this decision going into this next quarter. This is who I'm going to serve. This is what I'm going to do, period. So
I love it. I love that so much. I'll try to like insert a little clip for everyone to see of your baptism, because that was just like so touching. It's so powerful. But I had no idea like that's how that process works. So you know, like that was definitely God working as well, because what are the chances of yours? You came all the way from Georgia to their state to do this. So that is really powerful. You spoke about, of course I know, but you spoke about how you were supposed to die at birth. So that was like one of the very first challenges that you had to overcome, not even knowing, because obviously you're a baby, but talk to us a little bit about like challenges that you had to overcome in life.
Well, at birth, I'm the firstborn. So that just put a pin in it. I'm the first.
It's important. I'm the firstborn too. I get it.
Firstborn. Just put a pin in that biblically though, as far as sacrifice when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So they didn't know if I was gonna have Down's syndrome. Like, I guess they didn't have, that was before the test and all that stuff. They didn't test, they said, oh, we don't know, you have to wait till she comes out. I came out, my mom was in labor for like 72 hours.
Wow.
74 hours. And I came out breached, and I had a bowel movement. So I had swallowed the amniotic fluid. So that was everything that they had told her that I wasn't supposed to survive that night. I did, thank God, I did. But since then, it wasn't really trauma. Like, I didn't have many issues and stuff growing up as a kid. Like, I remember I would always be like, why am I always the one getting in trouble? Or like, if something happened, like, I would always get like, when eczema or something, like, I was the only kid that got eczema. So I was like, why am I always the one to get something? Something's always wrong with me. Like, right. What's going on? After graduation, post-grad, I got hit with, when I moved down to Georgia, I got hit with depression really bad. And that was like the beginning of the whole, I'd say my whole journey, like my own spiritual journey, personal journey with him, was because I'd never experienced depression, never experienced anxiety. And now here I am on medicine and being diagnosed with chronic everything. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, I was really just getting attack after attack after attack. And I just remember driving to my school my first year, I'd be in tears, but I would be driving and singing, I Trust You and Chance the Rapper's Blessings. Like, I don't know, there's a certain part of that song. And I remember my friend, mentor, lover to death, she had pointed out to me, and it was, you got it, you got it, you got it, it's coming. Coming, are you ready for your miracle? Are you ready for your blessing? And I was just, I remember just saying that literally every day to work. I'm just like, okay, okay. And I'd be crying like before I walk into that school. I'd be bawling because I'm just like, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I got to put a smile on my face for these babies. So I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And literally that then turned into just, I don't know, it's like it just fuels you. Like once you start seeing him start to work, and it's like, okay, because I feel like at some point you go through and you're so low, it's like, oh, he can't work for me. Like, mm-hmm. It ain't been working. He ain't finna show up.
Losing that hope.
But like, once he shows up and he shows you like, nah, I'm, like I said, I'm not gonna leave you nor forsake you. I'm here. I've been here. Even when you ain't want me here, I'm still here. It's just more so I need you to acknowledge me.
Right.
I think that was, for me, it was like, okay, that was like my little, okay, I could do this. I could take the next step. I could take the next step. So, yeah.
That is so amazing. So you said that when you moved here to Georgia that you were diagnosed with depression. How did you know that, like, to even go and, you know, see a doctor or anything for that?
I've always been a social butterfly, like always just been very outgoing, loud, lively. And I found myself not wanting to go places, wanting to stay in the house. I'm just sad, not knowing why I'm sad, but just like, it's not even a sadness. It's just like a,
you're just here.
Yeah, it's like, you're just here. And I remember everybody's just like, oh, how are you? And I'm like, I'm fine. Like, that was my slogan. I'm fine.
Oh, I remember that face right there too. That exact face.
Like, I'm fine. Or like, I'm here.
Everybody like, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you looking like that?
I'm fine. I'm here. That was my other one. I'm here. Mm. Like, or I'm alive. And like, those were just things I had to, I'm alive. Because there were times where I'm like, I wish I wasn't, but I'm alive. So that's a blessing. I am. Mm-hmm. But wait, refresh me on the question.
So the question was, you said that you were diagnosed with depression. So I asked, how did you know to even go and see a doctor? So you said that you started to just do things that were out of your norm.
Yeah, they were out of my norm. I became very distant. Because I isolate. So that's something that I already knew was a cope. Well, at the time, I didn't realize it was a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. But it's a coping mechanism as I like shut down and really just detach myself. Mm-hmm. And my family and friends were just like, what's going on? One thing that made it very evident, one of my close friends from back home came down for, I think it was the Spellhouse homecoming. Mm-hmm. And we went out to the tailgate and I didn't speak that whole weekend. Like from the time I picked her up from the airport, I said, hey, and I literally did not say one word. That
oh
whole
my goodness.
Week. Like I could not speak. And it was like, I'm still here. I'm quiet. I'm just like, but I literally could not talk. And so we would go to the tailgate. And I remember I was down there with all the people and I literally just looked at her and I was like, I got to go to the car. I was like, I don't feel good. Like I'll come pick you all back up. And I just remember sitting in the car and I drove home, took a shower, came back and picked them up. But it was just like, she was like, are you okay? And I was just like, I couldn't. And that was what made me just like, okay, go get this checked. And then he was like, oh, you have chronic this and chronic. And I was like, mm-hmm.
wait a minute now.
And he was like, oh, you need to be on this medication and this. I'm like, so they, I went through that, them changing the medications. And I will say, because I'm not one of those people that is like, oh, with mental illness, pray it away. No, you have to acknowledge it. There's a reason why I'm a therapist on this earth.
Absolutely.
Like, you have to acknowledge it. I think it goes, for me, I can only speak from my journey. It went hand in hand. I don't think if I did just church, it wouldn't have went away. It also, if I would have just taken the medicine and also didn't have my spiritual guiding, I don't think it would have worked out. I think
for me, have that balance.
It was an equal balance. And then it became to the point where it was like, okay, I'm more sound. I feel more grounded, where I don't feel the need. I'm not as anxious anymore. Yeah. I'm not as depressed anymore. There are still episodes. We're human. You'll go through different episodes, but it's not like it's just overtaken me anymore. So I was able to get off the medicine.
Praise God. So,
yeah, praise God. I was able to get off medicine because that did not like that at all. but able to get off. And so now, I mean, like anybody, you have your moments, you have your days, but it's definitely more like I have more control over it rather than when you're in those instances, it feels like you've just lost control. And that's really what freaks everybody out. It's like, I don't have a control over me.
Gotcha. So since then, what have you found that makes you happy or just able to enjoy life itself?
When I was down there, now I'm relocated. But when I was down there, I would be with my kids a lot, like my students. So going different places around town with them. I had to learn to rest as far as sleeping and getting an adequate amount of sleep.
Yeah.
I realized that things I liked to do when I was younger that I kind of gave up are things that I like to do now. So like drawing, reading poetry, because I used to write poetry as a kid. So like I'll read up on some poetry sometimes, or just reading. Like I was a bookworm growing up. I never asked for gifts. I always asked for Barnes & Noble gift cards. Like that, everybody knew. I don't want nothing. Don't give me no money. Give me a gift card. I started going back to Barnes & Noble and just sitting there, not buying the books really, but just sitting there like maybe for a couple hours and just reading the books.
Yeah.
And just getting into my zen. Going on walks. I found a lot of parks out in Georgia and like going on hikes and walks out there.
Yeah. That nature does something different to you.
Okay. Nature will have you, I don't know, it just opens up so much. And it like does. You just
literally opens you up, but also opens and expands your mind.
It's like a release, and you gain. Literally, if you just go outside and sit for maybe 15 minutes, just sit and listen.
Yes.
And it's crazy how much we miss.
I need a break. I'll just do that. Go take a walk.
And it's crazy how much we really miss. Like when you're just sitting there in silence and just listening to what's around you, it really shows you how busy we really are. Because like, when's the last time you really heard birds chirping? Like the different types of birds, not just one type.
Right.
Or like you've heard the crickets, not crickets, or like the little bees buzzing. Like you can hear bees buzzing around if you're quiet enough. So it's like, I don't know. I do things like that. I started working out heavy.
I remember that.
Yeah, I started working out heavy.
So much weight. Good. No, it wasn't like in a bad way.
Oh no, it was. I needed to lose a child. Actually, throughout that whole thing, that was another thing that. That was another part that I had to tackle, because within the depression and anxiety, I'd actually gotten to the biggest size I ever was in my life. Like, I've never been that big. And so it was like, okay, Kayla, you really got to take control of everything. And I remember putting on my vision board. I made it at your house. That one.
Look how that works.
I was like, I made it at your house. Vision board. And it was like, love Kayla whole. Love the whole Kayla. And it was like mind, body, and soul. And I remember like everything on that bulletin board, or that, not bulletin board, vision board, except for relocate to DC, because that happened the next year. Everything on that
board. It ain't about our timing, it's God's timing.
Okay, but he still told me if somewhere it was going to happen.
Right, it was coming. Maybe not this year, but it's coming.
But literally everything, 2018 to 2019, that was my build yourself back, my self-love year. I didn't, as far as, I know, as ladies, we love talking to people and, oh, let me just text. No, I cut all that. I ain't texting you. I'm not entertaining you. I don't need that spirit on my spirit, because I know what I'm trying to rebuild my spirit back up. So it was like, it was lonely at times. I mean, we're human, but it's more so a mental determination. Like, I got to get back. I got to get me back.
No, and for sure. And I think that kind of goes to like attachment issues as well. Like we feel like we always have to like be around people mm-hmm. or be talking to this person. It's like no love loss, but it's just at this yeah. moment, in this season that I'm in, that it's more so about me and my healing. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you know, if people couldn't understand it, then those probably weren't your people.
Oh, that's what it shows you too. Cause it's like a lot of people will approach you and you're like, oh no, I'm not interested. Oh, why? Because I'm not. Or it's like, I'm not dating at this time, or I'm not open to it. Oh, somebody must have hurt you. No, it's just,
right, no.
But I think that's what society has really made it. Like, it's not okay to be single, or like, yeah. we don't really know what singleness is. Singleness yeah. isn't just looking for somebody. It's like, you need to make sure you're straight before you go out and try to procreate with anybody or yeah. link up with anybody.
That is so.
So that's what I'm trying to do. Make sure I'm all together, because I know what I want in my future mm-hmm. is a strong marriage. I want healthy kids, a healthy husband. So it's like, I want to make sure I am
your whole
bringing those family. Things to the table as well. Absolutely. So I'm not just asking for this, but I'm also working on it myself and yeah. not just waiting until we're walking down the aisle. And now it's like, oh, because the aisle don't make you a wife. I don't know. My grandma always told me that. She was like, you walking down the aisle don't make you a wife. You got to be a wife beforehand. Like you're preparing to be a wife. Yeah. So I just got to be cognizant of like what I'm doing to make sure that it's for the good of what I know he wants for me and what he's showed me and what a righteous.
Make sure your future husband is out there doing the same thing, working on himself, getting himself together.
Right, not worry about me.
Because we need two holes to make one hole, okay? Not a half and a half.
I'm not looking for my other half. I don't want that.
Right, we don't want that. I want a whole individual.
Okay, thank you.
But that's so true, because a lot of people do feel like, oh, if I'm in this relationship, it'll make me whole again. But it's like, if you don't love yourself and you know your purpose and have your identity, then nothing else in this world is going to be able to do that for you. Not a man, not a child, not your mama, not anyone. So
and you will learn it. Like, I had to learn it the hard way. But it's like, I'm glad I learned it. So that's why I say go back to obedience. Please mm-hmm. listen to God when he's talking to you. Because if you don't... He will make you listen to him. And it's not saying he wants to hurt you. He doesn't want to cause any harm.
Yeah,
but I know this is the only thing you want to listen to.
Hard way. I think it's just experiences that we have to go through on our journey. Mm-hmm. Everybody's journey looks different. Everybody's experience is going to look different.
But he knows I'm hard-headed.
If everything was perfect, you know, then the world wouldn't be how it is. So okay. I think he just makes us go. And that just speaks for the time that we're in now. Like, this didn't just happen out of nowhere.
Oh, he's working right now.
Come on.
He's working. This yes. is an interesting time. And I'm very excited to see what the rest of 2020 got, because sis been on a roll.
Okay. And that's what it's all about. Just remaining faithful and just knowing that this is not the end. Like mm-hmm. my pastor always preach about, you have to go through the mountains and the valleys before you get there. And I'm excited. I mean, I'm not going to sit around, oh, this is happening, or we're stuck, or this and this. It's like, you know what? Like, something big is going to happen. And you just have to have that faith. And faith is simply expectation. Like, a lot of times people think like faith is like this whole big ordeal, but it's simply just believing that God's promise for you is for you.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And with that being said, so what do you feel like is one goal that you have that you still need to accomplish, rather it's this year or next 5 years?
You're funny. No, it's funny because I was thinking about this, and it's just funny that question, God, you're funny. Okay. I am in the works of starting my nonprofit for detained youth of color, or detained boys of color, and having different pillars as far as spirituality would be a pillar, education and educational assistance being a pillar, and then mentorship mm-hmm. being a pillar, because we all know the systematic oppression. I mean, it's being more so televised now, but that was part of the reason why I went into teaching, is because I studied the school to prison pipeline. So it's like, you see it. And then I also, my mentee, that I he's not like my bro, my little brother, but I worked on his case at the time. And so seeing him in the system and then to see how he changed his life from being in it, it's like so many of our kids can do it, had the potential to do it. It's just more so there's not the resources to help them unlearn a lot of things they have learned or just give them the hope that it's possible. Your circumstance and your surroundings does not determine what you want to be.
Yeah.
So that is, I feel like that is what he's calling me to do within the next 5 years. I think it's starting with walking testimony. I think it started more as an apparel, but I know that is not what the end goal is. I know it's definitely going to be more of like more expansive. He's still revealing certain things to me. But I know that eventually I want it to expand into the nonprofit. And even walking testimony be the name of that nonprofit because that's what you are, is a walking testimony.
That's exactly it.
So that's my 5-year goal. So that, but I'd be 31. Yep.
Well, I'm super excited for that. Listen, I can't even begin to express how much the world needs that. How much our boys need this, our Black boys need this. And now that I have a son, like, it just makes me want to go even harder to make sure like the resources are there for him so he doesn't have to experience certain things, because it is very traumatizing, it's very heartbreaking. And I'm very faithful and I believe in God and I know that change is coming, but to just have to turn on your TV or turn on social media or just look in the world, you're somewhere and you see something happening and it's usually you know, our Black boys, it's just very disheartening. So I'm excited for that. I know that it's going to be great. I know that God is going to bless that ministry because, like I said, walking testimony is way bigger than just this t-shirt I'm wearing.
Yeah.
The definition itself says living proof that God is alive. Okay. Now, if you ain't got nothing else from this, I'm going to need you to catch that word.
You know, you are living proof that God is alive. You still here. Everything that you'd have made it through, you'd have made it through 100% of what has been thrown at you.
Yes.
100% of it. That's the one thing I can say. I've made it through 100% of every attack, every trial, everything that should have killed me, could have killed me, almost killed me.
Yes.
I'm still here. So it's like, if you look at anybody's life, the fact that you're still here is a testimony of God's grace and love alone. That's proof that you're here. He ain't dead. Don't play with my man. He ain't dead.
Don't play with him. I love it. I love it so much. Kayla, it has been such an honor to have you on.
Thank you.
I appreciate you so much and just sharing your testimony. And we are looking forward to what's to come.
Yay.
And I love you so much.
Thank you. I love you. And thank you so much for this opportunity, for just even opening it up for me to just come in and just share. I was
a little nervous at first.
I was, girl.
Hey, what I gotta do? You about to step out. You about to walk in your testimony.
And it's funny because he uses those around you. Like when, especially if you don't feel like he's talking to you, listen to the people around you because he could be speaking through them. And it's like, especially if you feel like you're not receptive or not hearing him, look at the people around you. Like, because I will say you and Ray, especially, y'all have pushed me to step out. More than I probably would have just by so when are you available for an interview? Just like that. I'm like, interview?
Just like yeah. I just signed you up for it.
But
just
it's like you're for,
just like for my mentoring. When are you available to speak to the girls?
But it's like, I'm appreciative because it's forcing me. It's not providing me the option to back out. It's like, no, I'm calling you to do this. This is what you want to do.
As always, I really appreciate your thoughts and feedback about the show. You can reach out to me on Instagram at LifeIsSoSincere or shoot me an email. I read and respond to every single comment, DM, and email. And I may include yours in upcoming episodes. Until next time, always walk by faith and slay. Plus pray. And if you're not a part of the faith community, join us at the Faith Community on Facebook. Love y'all. Peace.